one, I'm extremely nervous, and I wrote that last week. I thought that there would be a rule book or a handbook on how to do this, and apparently there's not, so here goes. I knew that I needed to do this to shed the sins, the guilt, the shame, and the fear that's held me down for almost 50 years. And people have known me sometimes for 20, 30 years and not even had a clue who I was. And I'm very selective on who I share things with. And I want to say I'm blessed and honored to be doing this with you. I think like the best congregation in the world. So I'm really grateful to be here and for the growth that I've gotten out of this place, this house of God. And so what I've told people in my life a lot of times wasn't even the truth. You know, like growing up in a shark tank, you couldn't be the bleeding fish. It showed weakness and vulnerability. And so I would embellish and lie and puff myself up for bravado. So I'm just going to share a little bit of my journey with you. And as far as the truth goes, in John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, I want to be free. I was raised in an extremely affluent home. It was rich with monetary gains, prestige, bloodlines, but no love. It was a small pulp and paper town in Manitoba, and my mamere and papere owned half the town. My dad was the mill manager. My mother was a beautiful socialite. So my father was brilliant. He was a biochemist, engineer. My mother was on every board, every committee. Perfectionist. My dad was an athletic god, so everything had to be perfect. My A's could have been A pluses. MVP could have been for every game. It didn't matter. Nothing was good enough. My parents drank daily, had extramarital affairs. And the day I caught my mother at it, then it was time to be shipped off. Then it was time. I had a secret. And so then I was sent to work in my mamere and papere's theater, the bowling alley, the skating rink, the roller rink, every winter, and then sent off to work on the farm, my uncle's farm, in the summer, every summer. Gave me a good work ethic, but no love. I was told then that I was the reason, by my mother, that I was the reason she had to marry my dad. She got pregnant with me. So then it started being dragged around by my hair. You know, behind the doors, it wasn't good. That started when I was about 8. I was already working. My dad was busy with work, but I waited for him to save me because I looked up to him, but he never did. Church is where we went on Sundays, but it was more of a regime. It was to look good, outside influences. Everything had to be pressed, the doily on our head properly pinned, and bruises covered up properly, and of course, don't talk. Kneel down, make your knees bloody, and pray. But I didn't know how to pray. Catechism was mandatory. There I learned stories from the nuns, but basically we were little punching bags. So needless to say, that's not where I found the love I was craving. Thought there was hope. When I was 11, my dad got transferred to Newfoundland. It was going to be a fresh new start. And my dad was happy, so I had hope. Well, apparently when a mainlander goes to Newfoundland, You take jobs away from them, and you're not liked. So I had to, and that carries on to your children, so I had to fight. I had a younger sister. She needed to be protected, so I had to fight. Every day was fighting. And because my father and mother were the top echelon of society, I wasn't allowed to hang out or associate with anyone that wasn't at our level, which was impossible to do in their eyes. Especially when I was busy protecting my sister and myself. I was letting my parents down, and then I had to start protecting myself at home. Behind gilded doors, people thought it was heaven, but it was actually hell. So to find love, I went where I could get it. Turned out to be the not-so-upstanding elements in town. And because of my reputation for fighting, the bikers took me in. And I had no fear of anything by then. I looked and acted older, and they paid attention to me, so I ran to them. Started doing drugs, going to the coast, bringing bales in, selling them. And that was not the persona my parents wanted. What did I know? I thought the attention I would be safe. I was 12. And so wasn't saved that way. And one night it was really bad at home. So middle of November, and wreck winds, it's major winds in Newfoundland, I hit the highway. And stuck out my thumb and started hitchhiking. When you're on an island, where do you go? Everywhere's the wrong way. And once I realized that I was going the wrong way, I was headed towards St. John's, I got out of the car, walked across the highway, and hitchhiked back. But went right back through town and headed to the ferry in Cornerbrook. Truckers gave me rides, and it was not pleasant. I had just had my stitches out for my appendix, had to take those out by myself on the road, and rapes happened. And then I was dropped off at the ferry and given a coat. So it was cold, didn't know what to do. And while I was hanging around the terminal of the ferry, a couple of hairy looking biker guys walked up to me and said that they were in Newfoundland picking magic mushrooms. And they were traveling with the Hare Krishnas, selling paintings across Canada. So I let them know that it was the wrong season. They had garbage bags full of garbage. And so they paid my ferry ticket, and somehow a runaway that was 12 years old got off the island. Convicts couldn't even get off that island, but I'll tell you when I'm determined. And so off I headed to Montreal with two Hare Krishnas and two bikers. And stayed there for about a year. So one night I heard Madame Badal, she was a patriarch of one of the Hells Angels club presidents, talking to Eugene, the guy I was living with, and she was buying me. So I decided I'm not going back there, and I decided to go to the Hare Krishna temple because I thought they're good people. Well, they fed the homeless, but they put something extra in that food. I don't know how long I was drugged, how long I was asleep, or what happened. But when I woke up, I was out of there, and I ended up in Detroit. Somehow I got over the Ambassador Bridge, and I found a friend, and a couple days later he was shot and killed in front of me, about 2 feet away from me. So I was out of there, and I went across the tunnel and got back to Windsor and decided, okay, I want to call home. I called my dad, and he sent me $20. So thought he would save me. That didn't happen. So I found another club, the Queensland in Windsor, and I started selling dope across Canada for them. I had found something I was good at, and they were my family now. So my dad knew where I was, and about a year later, my mother was in a head-on car collision, and so I hitchhiked back. And when I got to the hospital, the coma she'd just come out of, and she had lost all her short-term memory. She only had long-term. So she woke up, and she was looking at me, and all she said was, "Kathy's being bad again." And that was hard. And my dad dragged me out, threw me in a broom closet, and beat the crap out of me, and walked away. I was an embarrassment. So I left. I knew my job then in life was to suffer because I was bad. So with no fear, no hope, I jumped into the flames. I wasn't scared of anything by then. I went head on into everything, no matter what I did, whether it was selling drugs, sex, violence, robbery, and especially relationships. I jumped head in looking for something, love. Got to the point of getting up and deciding, you know, do I wear a flak jacket today? Am I gonna rob a bank today? Is there kids in that house where I have to go do collections? You know, it didn't matter for me anymore. Many, many near-death experiences, oh yeah, that I knew God had, I now know that God has had angels walking with me. I've been brought back from the other side so many times. Near death or died, like so many times. In these moments of clarity, I knew that there had to be a reason, so I would do many good works and maintain sobriety after these near-death experiences. So I've had spells, long spells of doing good things and trying. But my looking for love in all the wrong places would eventually lead me back to a downfall. My feeling of being an embarrassment would bring me to reach for anyone that I thought would validate me. And over my life, I've survived and always known that I had an inner struggle with the things I had to do to survive. And they would give me so much guilt because the kindness in me was battling with the wicked. And I know now that God and I have won over Satan. Like, really, it's amazing. I've survived many abusive relationships, drug overdoses, to serve God's will for me. I've tried to break the chains that bound me with drugs, lust, violence, money, and the only thing that has broken them is God. I'm free now. I really is. It's amazing. So in 2013, it was my third time back to Edmonton Penn, and come down the hallway, this tattooed up blonde woman who was staff walked up to me and said, "Hi, Kathy, I know you from a long time ago." And the old man just looked at her and said, "Oh yeah, so from last time I was here?" She said, "No, from way before that. I grew up in Grand Falls, Newfoundland, and I went to school with your sister, and you used to protect me. And I'm the deacon here." Wow, like, if that's not God. And so now, because of that, I have a relationship with my sister, because I never went back home. And she loves me, and she wants me in her life. Praise God for that. Like, wow. I started walking back to God then. I connected with the Women's Reintegration Group and Chaplain Debbie Fawcett there. And when the women in that group truly looked at me and they didn't see what I saw in the mirror all my life, That was an aha moment. Hope started. Hope that I didn't have to suffer anymore, that I could have peace. God is great and he loves me. And the love I've always wanted, he has for me. And that's good enough for me. He gave his only son to die. And to see him die that horrible way, my suffering is minuscule. That's nothing. My sins are forgiven. He has given me a new beginning to spread the word of God and to do his will. God is great. I'm not alone. He's with me. And everything good will follow. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Woo!
Can I get a few people up here? We want to pray for Kathy. All right. Come and help me out. I was going to do the Lord's Prayer. But I want to, talk a little bit about what Kathy was sharing. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, I was going to get to this part today. It says, you know, today, give us our daily bread, all right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And that refers to the basic needs. I don't believe it's just bread. It's simply all your basic needs that a human has. How many believe that's true? And you know what Kathy was sharing in her testimony? She said, "I have a basic need that was never met. And that basic need is love. It's to know that somebody cares." And when God created us, he created us in his image, and he created us to receive love and then give it away. But when that need is not met, it's amazing to the extent that people would go trying to find it. And God intended it. His plan was that a little child was to be safe, secure, and comfortable in the arms of mom and dad. And when they grew up and they left home, they continued to walk in safety and security of the arms of a heavenly father. How many knows that as parents, we teach our kids to get independent, get out the door, find your own way. But as Christians, as we walk, we learn to become dependent on God. We actually have to return to childhood faith. Amen. How many knows that the Bible says he had come to kill, steal, and destroy? We truly have an enemy of our soul. And that enemy of the soul, he's called the father of lies. How many of you ever heard of the father of lies? And we think it's some kind of mystical thing out there. Some little thing with demons, with horns. But actually, it's a spirit. And it's many spirits. But one of the ways that it operates through people. And as parents, we don't realize it, but at times, we actually will be doing the work of the enemy. And lots of times, we don't even know we do it. How many has discovered sometimes the thing you said was not the work, it was not the word of God, it was the word of the enemy? When I was listening to Kathy's testimony, I was hearing the voice of the enemy coming through. Heard that. when he threw her into the closet and said, "You are a shame to us," or something like that. And you're an embarrassment to us. How many knows that if a child hears, "You're an embarrassment to us," that is the voice of the enemy implanting a lie in the spirit of that little child, because that child will walk away thinking in her spirit, "I am useless. I'm an embarrassment. And you see, the renewing of the mind comes when every one of those things that has been planted in the spirit, that is a lie of the enemy, is replaced with the truth of what God says. And he says to Kathy, "Kathy, you're not what that was told. You are a child of God. You have an amazing future, Kathy. You're beautiful. You're created in the image of God. You reflect him." He's saying to you, "Father, I sent his son, Kathy, to die for you because he loves you more than you can even imagine." Oh, understand. And you see, when the truth, see, the truth sets you free. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus came to set you free. When the Son sets you are free indeed. And it is truly when the word of God about who you are goes from here to here. Kathy says, "I'm free." She jumps and says, "I'm free." And you see, the race he was free was by faith. She now knows that she's a child of God. And Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Kathy was lost. How many has ever been lost? We all been lost, my friends. And when we're lost, we can build up shame and guilt. Some more than others. But Jesus came to rescue us from the past. And on that cross, Kathy, he took all your guilt. He took all the filth. He took all your regrets. And he says, "I paid the price, Kathy." And then he rose again and says, "Kathy, just like I rise from the dead, Kathy, you too can rise from your past. You don't ever have to return there. There's nothing back there to return to. But there is a place in the hearts of the Father where he says to you, 'Kathy, I have a plan for you. And it's not to harm you, but it is to prosper you.'" Amen. Jesus truly can take anyone, no matter where they're at, where they came from, and set them free. Amen. The gospel message is the good news. It's not Kathy's good works that sets her free. It's not her ability to work it up and somehow pull up her socks and says, "I'm going to obey and do the right things." No, it's really all that Jesus has done. This is the amazing thing about the gospel. It is what Jesus did on the cross. And when Kathy receives that by faith, she sets free. Amen. I mean, I think that's amazing. It's amazing grace. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Kathy comes to the Bible study on Saturdays at the Healing Lodge, and I appreciate her always and participating and speaking her mind. She has a mind of her own. But see, God is going to take that stubbornness or whatever you want to call it, and he's going to use it for his kingdom. She's a tough, but she's going to be tough for the kingdom. She's going to be one of David's mighty men who does great exploits for God. Amen. And he's going to take what he has that was the enemy used for bad, but this is going to turn into what God's going to use for good. Amen. Amen. So, if you will stand with me. How many knows it takes courage to share your testimony? It takes courage. and there was a battle, I'm sure. There was a battle of courage trying to come to the front here and share her story with you. But that's also how healing comes. Can I just tell you what I think about that for a minute? You see, what is in the darkness, the enemy can play with. But when it's exposed into the light, you know, there is no way. The lies are exposed. There is no way. Kathy says, I had to pretend. I had to look tough. And she said, she doesn't have to look tough. She doesn't have to pretend. She just shared it with everybody here. And when she shared it with everybody here, she shared it with God. And the enemy, sorry, you are no more have any right over Kathy. You know, there's no more guilt or condemnation you can put on her because she has already brought it to the cross and she has exposed it to what it is. Amen. So, my friends, there is something about taking it and say, God, here, this is where I was, but this is now who I am. And there's no going back. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I just thank you for the amazing good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for every one of the ladies here from the Healing Lodge, Lord. And I thank you for everyone in the church today. We all have a story. And Father, part of that story is the story of the enemy and his work in our lives. But God, you are a redeemer. You are a deliverer. And God, you are our Savior. And God, you saved us from the past and you're bringing us into a glorious and wonderful future. And I thank you, Jesus, for Kathy and others who's willing, God, to step up and say, this is what I was. But now, Lord, you have set me free. So, Father, bless the church today, God. And help us, Lord, to be people who reaches out to our friends and neighbors, God, with the good news, because there are lost people everywhere. So help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the service today, God. Thank you for everyone who came in your awesome, precious name. If you're in church today and said, hands, I would like some prayer. I would love to pray for you. The altar will be open. God bless you.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. We'll bow down before Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, you paid it all.
Let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. So, Lord, just bless your church today. Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, Lord. Thank you that your arms is wide open, Father, and we can come and receive, Lord, your amazing love. Lord, bless everyone here, God. Keep us, God. May you be gracious towards us. Turn your face upon us, Lord. And may we walk out of this place with your amazing peace. The peace that comes from Jesus Christ. The peace that he leaves with us. In your awesome, precious name. Amen. The altar is open if anybody wants to come for prayer. We'd love to pray with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a brunch downstairs, so everybody's invited for brunch.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Before you, pour out our heart The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.